We come to the feast of the great apostle, Saint Andrew, San Andres. There are a lot of ways to reflect on the lives of the apostles. We'll try a few of them as we ponder together. Since we're a liturgical community, we can start by noticing that Andrew's feast day lands this year on the very last day of ordinary time. So we have put away the green liturgical color. Yesterday was the last time we used green. Today we're using red because the apostles are all honored with red, the martyrs. We won't see green again until sometime in the middle of January, after the celebration of the baptism of the Lord. So Andrew, this year, is at the end of the year, but his feast day is not selected to be the last day of the year. It just happens that way this year. Sometimes he's at the end of the year, sometimes he's at the beginning of the year. It falls in the first week of Advent sometimes. In fact, when his feast day, when November 30th falls on a Sunday, he doesn't get any feast day at all. He gets bumped off the calendar. But the reason for this is not so much liturgical, whether it's ordinary time or Advent. It's because November 30th is the traditional date of his martyrdom. In about the year 60, he was put to death. Tradition is in Greece. And the tradition is also that he was martyred on an X-shaped cross because he didn't think it was appropriate, or he didn't feel worthy to be killed on the same kind of cross as his master Jesus. So they put him on an X-shaped cross. And whenever you see anything about Andrew in the church or in the different cultures that have devotion to St. Andrew, there's always an X somewhere, an X-shaped cross somewhere in portrayals of Andrew. Now, it might look like, since he's at the end of the year, it might look like he's the culmination of the year. Or when he's at the beginning of the year, it might look like he's the forerunner. Or it might look like he's just a leftover. They just tuck him in at the end or throw him in at the beginning, and then we never think about Andrew again for the rest of the year. No, the way the church tends to focus on the apostles is to look at them as a group. Because the apostles, the 12, are seated on 12 thrones in glory. They are the 12 foundation stones of the church. They're our connection to the life and ministry and teaching of Jesus. Jesus entrusted the whole of his gift, of his kingdom, to the apostles, and we belong to an apostolic church. So we tend to look at the apostles as a group, or the theologians call it a college. The group of the apostles, the 12. Because the apostles went forth and proclaimed the message to the ends of the earth. St. Andrew, the tradition says, went to the Greek-speaking areas. Another tradition has him going up into Eastern Europe. Both Ukraine and Russia claim that he was one of the first evangelists in their countries. And in Turkey, where Istanbul is, what was called Constantinople, St. Andrew is considered the first bishop of that place. So the Eastern Rite churches, the Orthodox churches, they like to focus on Andrew as their great patron, whereas the Latin Rite and Roman Catholic Church, we focus on St. Peter as the first. Well, it's true that the scriptures represent Andrew as the first to be called. That's why they call him the Protoclete, the first call, the first of the apostles. So that's the tradition. Now, when we think about Andrew in a worldly way, I'm going to do this because this is how we tend to think, and then we have to set it aside. But let's just think about Andrew in a worldly way. Andrew, even though he's the first to be called, is not included among the big three, the three most prominent apostles, Peter, James, and John. Even though Andrew was the one who introduced Peter to Jesus, Andrew is not included in the first three. So in the eyes of the world, that's a really big insult. Because in the world, you want to be first. You want to be considered number one. You want to get the gold medal. If you can't get the gold medal, at least get a silver medal. Second place. If you can't get a silver medal, at least get a bronze medal. Third place. Peter, James, John. But if you don't get third place, well, then you're pretty much out of the competition. Honorable mention. You don't get any medal. You don't get any trophy. And so this is the heartbreak of people who, in the sports world, strive and train and work and compete, and they get onto the biggest stage, the championship level, and they're, say, the Olympics or whatever, the World Cup. They're great. They're among the greatest in the world, but they end up in fourth place. So they end up being forgotten in the competition. So someone might look at Andrew and say, well, he was the first to be called, but his brother immediately surpassed him. And then Jesus seems to have excluded him from the inner circle of the three. So Andrew is like the loser in that way of seeing things. I'm not saying that's what Andrew thought, but that's the way we would look. Now, we know that the apostles before Pentecost, they did have sometimes a very worldly way of thinking. I would love to know what Andrew's part was when the apostles were arguing about who was the greatest. Maybe Andrew's the one who started that. Or maybe his brother Peter did. Or maybe the two of them were fighting about who's the greatest because Andrew was the first to be called, but Peter is the one who got the title, the Rock. Or maybe they were fighting about who is the greatest between the two of them. Remember, Peter asked the question, when my brother sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Was he talking about Andrew? Well, we don't know. Another way to ponder the apostles is to think about the human dynamics, the personalities. If you watch the TV series The Chosen, you know this is the strong point of that series. They focus on the human qualities of the apostles. What they were really like. So in that series, they portray Peter, of course, as a very strong-willed leader with his own flaws. And Andrew, they portray as a very sincere, dedicated follower, but also someone who overthinks things and tends to be anxious. And Peter sometimes has to calm him down. So it doesn't say that in the scriptures, but there are human dynamics, and everybody is unique. So all of the apostles are unique. Andrew's a unique person. But once we get to Pentecost and the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit, these human or worldly ways of thinking don't apply anymore. Andrew is not thinking about being just one of the supporting cast. He doesn't care whether he's number one or number four or number 12. That's not his concern at all. Once he's filled with the Holy Spirit, along with all the apostles, he is 100% dedicated to proclaiming the gospel, at the building up and spreading the kingdom of God. And that's the apostle whom we honor. So we don't focus so much on the human level, although we know he has his own personality and strengths and weaknesses, as we all do. We don't focus on the dynamic of him with his brother or with anybody else, although that's a part of it. We don't focus on where he fits in the year or what happened in the choosing of the date. No, what we focus on is his dedication as an apostle to doing the work of an apostle. And in this sense, he's a great example for us and a great intercessor for us. He's one of those who teaches us not to be concerned about ourselves, about our status, about our ranking, but to be focused on the gospel, to be a servant of the gospel. Whether we're the end Whether we're the last in the line or whether we're the first day of the year, doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus Christ is first and we are his servants. And when we do that, we can rejoice. Remember, all the apostles are reigning in glory now. The scriptures, well, Jesus himself said that they would sit on thrones of glory. And in the book of Revelation, we see them seated on thrones of glory. Not that they care about that. They don't care about their thrones or about their glory, but they're celebrating the glory of God shared with them. And that's what Andrew teaches us. That's what we learn. So as we get to the end of the year, and we look forward now to the beginning of the new year tomorrow, first Sunday of Advent, we ask Andrew to intercede for us and show us the way to be good servants of Jesus Christ.